Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
You know, I'm thinking this could be the new open for Hardline. The politics of dancing. Get the big voice guy. We got the message. We might have to work on that, Lucas. I think that's what we're going to do. Welcome. It is Hardline on News Radio 930 WBEN. Joe Beamer with you for the next 2 hours. Hope everyone's having a great start to their Sunday morning. We have a packed show for you. First hour, former State Senator George Maziarz will be joining us. He's in studio. And then in the second hour, we have Congressman Brian Higgins and Erie County Legislator Tim Myers. So, hey, we've got a show for you, starting with former State Senator George Maziarz.
Hey, I'm already impressed. I get an hour and Higgins only gets a half hour?
Well, hey, you know, if the congressman would offer us an hour, we would definitely take it. George, how you doing? It's been a while.
Very good, Joe. How are you? How's married life treating you, Joe?
So far, so good. Well, I have to say that because she's listening. but George, I have to say, and I wanted to say this on the radio, you texted me in September, and I completely did not see it until 2 days ago.
Really?
So I apologize for that, and I want to make sure that everyone knew. I am sorry, and honestly, I just didn't see it, and I apologize.
No problem at all, Joe. That's, no problem at all.
That's the world of texting.
It's another topic we'll take up on another show.
That's right. Now, we have the redistricting to talk about and a lot of stuff in the state to talk about, but I want to start with a question about what we're seeing here at a county level and how it can be addressed at the state level, because as you know, Mark Poloncarz, the Erie County executive, has his emergency powers. And anytime it's brought up, we're told, well, it has to be taken away at a state level. State being run by Democrats doesn't seem like that would be the easiest thing to get done. But why is it that a local, at a local level, a county level, the legislature at that municipality can't take those powers away? Why is it the state has to take them away?
Well, I disagree with that interpretation, but I'm sure the county attorney who is also a Democrat political operative is making that determination. I don't think that's accurate. I think the Erie County Legislature could do it. It's surprising and somewhat disappointing that the legislators, and the majority, the Democrats I'm talking about, won't say, wait a minute, putting all that power in one individual is not such a good thing. And, I think for some, and I'm not necessarily pointing any fingers at anybody, but for some, the continuation of COVID is has some political positives to it. You know, I mean, you can send out absentee ballots to everybody, you know, which is certainly going to favor, one party over the other. You know, I think things like that come into play.
That seems like a short term view, though, because eventually you think more people are, if you are in power right now, right, you would think that the next time people go to the ballot, you're not looking too good with, you know, the study that came out from Johns Hopkins, which isn't, you know, particularly a conservative school, that came out and said lockdowns didn't save lives, but it killed the economy, mm-hmm. right? I mean, that doesn't look good. You would think more and more people are going through this, the more they see, look at Florida, wide open, pretty much having the same numbers as New York State. Why did this person make these decisions? So maybe short-term political positives, but in the long term, I think a lot of these politicians...
Well, a lot of politicians only think in the short term, though,
yeah,
Joe.
That's true.
You know, that's the world we live in.
Yeah, unfortunately. It's very interesting, you know, at a state level to see that Erie County, the one county that has kept these powers for now 2 years. And like you said, with a majority in the legislature, what can't he do without those powers?
That in particular, and I think Mark Poloncarz has a personal relationship with the governor. I mean, she's from Erie County.
Right.
They were both active. I'm sure they probably both grew up within the Democratic Party activism back in the day. And, you know, I'm sure he's got the governor's ear, which is a good thing to have for an elected official.
I wish the Bills had the governor's ear.
Yeah.
And we'll get into that. We're going to get all things state, but the number one thing, the thing that people even outside of New York State are talking, you see this on CNN, you've seen it on Fox News, the New York Times, which is all over the country, and that's the redistricting here in New York State.
Yes.
And you look at some of these districts, George, go through this process. How did they come up, especially with New York 24? How did they come up with these districts?
You know, it's a political process, and it's done, with the interest of the party in control. That's the reality of it. You know, the Democrats are complaining. I think what you're referring to are complaining about Georgia, Texas, North Carolina, Florida. You know, the Republicans in those states using their political power to enhance their base, increase their numbers in both the state legislature and in the congressional districts. The Democrats are complaining about it, and in New York, they're doing the exact same thing. You know, it's just the process. It's the way it is. Somebody has to do it. You know, 10 years ago, I was on the redistricting committee, in 2012, and the Assembly and the Senate could not agree on congressional district lines. And it actually went to an impartial judge, a federal judge at the time, and they drew the congressional lines. This time, you know, with a supermajority in the Senate and the Assembly, you know, that wasn't going to happen. And this whole redistricting thing, you know, redistricting independent commission, that was a farce from day one. It wasn't going to happen. The Democrats were not going to allow that to happen. And look, I'm going to say this. If the Republicans were in control, they wouldn't have allowed it to happen either.
Right.
You know? So, you know, I'm not throwing any negative aspersions anywhere. I mean, it's just a process. It's the way it is. If you've got a supermajority in both houses, you're going to draw the lines to your favor. It's bad, though, Joe, for Western New York, I think, in particular, because we are losing a Senate seat. Right now, we have six state senators who represent, you know, Western New York. Western New York, I'm talking about from the Pennsylvania line up to the Lake Ontario and then over to Rochester. We have six state senators, all of whom are very good people in both political parties. I know all of them. They're great representatives, I think. We're losing one seat. Ed Rath in Amherst, his seat has been obliterated. Ed runs again. I wish him luck, but it's an overwhelmingly Democratic seat.
So his seat's been – so where he is now, that district is being taken up by another Democrat, a Democrat majority district.
Right, exactly, yeah.
And who is that current state senator?
Tim Kennedy. What they're doing is they're adding Amherst into Tim Kennedy's district. Now, Amherst has been trending heavily Democratic, although Ed Rath has survived there for a long time. I served with Ed's mom, Mary Lou, an excellent state legislator. But, what it's doing is it's eliminating the district. – And what the Democrats did is they added two districts there were 63 total districts, but they took two, one out of Western New York and one out of the Capital District, the Albany area, and created two new districts in New York City, one in Queens and one in Brooklyn. And in those two districts, in Queens and Brooklyn, Abraham Lincoln could be running as a Republican candidate and he wouldn't win.
Okay.
You know, so those are going to be two additional Democratic seats. We're going to lose a seat here in Western New York. They're going to lose a seat in the Capital District. And the other thing that they did is they made some other Republican districts extremely competitive, you know, where, you know, and the Democrats, you know, being in a supermajority, are going to have, you know, a better funding mechanism for campaigns. So it's going to be an interesting year. I mean, 2022 is shaping up to be a good Republican year. Could be in the rest of the country, not so much in New York, I think, right now, the way it looks.
You know, and people are focusing more on these congressional districts, but, you know, the state Senate districts are another thing. I think a lot of people don't even know.
Switched. And for your – and really, you know, I realize, you know, being in Congress obviously is very important, and, you know, in the national news, and you tend to get, you know, Fox and CNN and all the national news stories. But really, I think the state legislature really impacts your pocketbook a whole lot more. And you know what they did? They took Cheektowaga out of Kennedy's district and put that into Pat Gallivan's district. Now, Pat Gallivan has a whole Erie County district. He doesn't have, I think he lost Wyoming County and Livingston County. His district is wholly contained within Erie County. Now, Pat, excellent legislator, excellent state senator. You know, Pat, I think, will survive in that district as long as he wants to. He's very popular, you know, former Erie County sheriff, youngest major in the state police. But I think what the Democrats are thinking is, you know, time marches on, and eventually, you know, Pat is going to leave that district, and, you know, that's going to be a very competitive district for a Democrat. I wouldn't say a conservative. I don't think there's such thing as a conservative Democrat, but a moderate Democrat out of Cheektowaga, that's a good district. If I was a moderate Democrat in Cheektowaga, I'd be looking at that district when Pat retires.
So Cheektowaga adds the Democrat, makes it a more Democratic district.
Makes it a much more Democratic district. I mean, when you're taking in Senator Gallivan's district, you're taking away Livingston County, heavily Republican, Wyoming County, heavily Republican, and adding Cheektowaga, you know, heavily Democratic. You know, you're drawing the lines for your own political party. And they did the same thing in the Albany area, in the Capital District. They took two Republicans, Peter Oberdecker and Jim Tedesco. Jim Tedesco has been in the state legislature for 100 years, I think. Jimmy's a good guy. There was a two Republican senators adjacent to each other. They took probably 80% of Oberdecker's district and took Tedesco's house, you know, and put it in that district. So they're going to have to run against each other in a primary. And, you know, obviously if two Republicans run in a primary, you're only going to end up with one of them.
Yeah. It seems like we're going to see that throughout the state, especially in those congressional districts, Republicans, maybe even popular Republicans running in primaries because districts have been eliminated.
The congressional districts were something really, you know, look, you knew the Democrats, you know, there was an article in the Atlantic magazine, which I don't read on a regular basis because it's just too liberal and leftist. But there was one article that was brought to my attention about redistricting. Now, this is 8 months ago. And Nancy Pelosi was interviewed, and she said, in New York, we can easily pick up anywhere between 3 and 5 seats just by redistricting alone. And she was correct. I mean, they just jammed all the Republicans into 3 or 4 congressional districts, you know, you know, we've seen it. That's how you end up with districts that go from Lewiston to Watertown. You know what the surprising
which
thing
is the most ridiculous looking district I've seen.
But the surprising thing about the congressional redistricting is the Southern Tier District. I think that's number 23.
Yep.
You know that Claudia Tenney, who is going to move from Utica to the Southern Tier to represent that district, and apparently has the blessings of the hierarchy of the Republican Party. I mean, I'm not at that level anymore where I'm, you know, in those rooms where those decisions are being made. But I'm thinking, what about, you know, Rob Ort? I mean, you know, Rob could move 20 miles and be in that district. You know, Chris Jacobs, another excellent representative that we have for Western New York, is moving 20 miles into his district, and Claudia Tenney is 250 miles away in Utica. You know, Dave DiPietro, I think he might already represent a portion of that congressional district, and I think he may even live in that congressional district. I mean, that district, to me, again, you know, from 1,000 feet, looks like a slam dunk for a guy like Dave Pietro. I mean, it's Republican. It's extremely conservative. You may be shocked to hear this, but Dave DiPietro is extremely conservative.
Oh, you don't say.
But, you know, it seemed to me like it'd be a given for a Rob Ord or a Dave DiPietro. You know, I just can't believe that they want to sit back and stay in the minority. I mean, unfortunately, you know, and sadly, I think, and negatively for New York State, the Senate is probably going to end up with, you know, maybe only 17 Republicans out of 63.
Wow.
You know, and that's just not good for anybody.
And more difficult now to take back seats in the way that this has been redrawn.
It's impossible. They've made the Senate very much like the Assembly now. And the Assembly, you know, there's 150 seats. You have, I think, and I'm not absolutely certain about these numbers, but there's something like 110 Democrats and 40 Republicans, you know. The Republicans really don't have any sway. And I wouldn't say they don't have much sway. They don't have any sway at all. You know, the Senate is going to be very much like that. And, you know, in Albany, there's something I think they call, we used to call them the minority malaise, you know, that the minority just kind of sits around and you know, it's not fun. It's not, you know, they really don't have any sway with policy at all. You know, they hold press conferences. They send out press releases that, you know, very few people read, quite frankly.
Were you surprised that Chris Jacobs is going to move into 24 and not run for 23?
No, that made a lot of sense to me because you know, Chris, first of all, represents a good portion of that district already.
Right.
You know, Niagara County, Orleans County, I think Western Monroe County. He represents a good portion of that district already. You know, and you know, I think he's well known up in that area. You know, Chris Jacobs. Again, the surprise to me is the other district, the Southern Tier district. That you know, I was surprised that Senator Ort didn't jump on that immediately. Or you know, I know George Borrello, the state senator from down there, kind of took himself out pretty early. Kathy Young took herself out. I just think it's unusual. And there certainly is a story behind it. I mean, we haven't seen McCarthy do a deep dive into it yet, or Bob McCarthy, I'm talking about from the Buffalo News, or Jim Heaney at an Investigative Post do a deep dive into it yet. But that's coming. I mean, there is definitely, you know, a story behind. I'm thinking, again, from 10,000 feet, this congressional district is there. You know, heavily Republican, heavily conservative, and somebody's moving from 250 miles away, Utica, to run in this district as the endorsed Republican candidate. Again, I think, you know, Claudia Tenney may be a very good. She was in the Assembly when I was in the Senate. I really didn't know her that well. I think she's, you know, I think she's a very good person. You know, certainly agrees with my political philosophy. But I just think, you know, somebody from Western New York, again, like I think Rob Ort would make an excellent congressman. I think he had the votes to do it when Chris Collins left office, and you know the situation was, you know, Chris Jacobs ended up with it. But I don't know. And then again, David DiPietro. I mean, if ever there was a district that was made for a conservative Republican, and again, I'm sure I'm shocking your listeners telling you that David DiPietro is a conservative Republican.
I want to dig more into that Southern Tier district, especially, and other people that you would think would run there. Also, want to put some more focus back on that state Senate, because again, I think more people are looking at these congressional districts, not realizing what's going to happen. As you said, something that you're going to notice more on an everyday basis in those state Senate.
Yes.
So we will talk about that. Also, I got a few other state-related questions for former State Senator George Maziarz. It is Hardline here on News Radio 930 WBEN. We will be back after news with Alan.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
It is Hardline. I should say welcome back. It is Hardline here on News Radio 930 WBEN. George Maziarz is joining us for another segment. And George, we're continuing to talk about this redistricting and the congressional districts, which have gotten a lot of focus. But you also look at the state Senate level. And so say 17 Republicans left in state Senate after this go around.
It could be, you know, I think worst case scenario for the Republicans.
So
you got the two seats that they created in New York City. Those are clearly going to be Democratic seats.
And those are taken away Republican.
Right. Right. There's a district on Long Island that they made a majority Hispanic district. There's a person down there who used to be a state senator, Monica Martinez. She's probably going to run again for that district. You know, that could be a loss for the Republicans. And there really are very few competitive Democratic seats, competitive in a general election. And there are at least three or four very competitive Republican seats in the election. So those are still up for grabs, too. So
and you go 17, as you said here, we're missing a district. Now, if you were advising Ed Rath, whose district got taken away, would you advise him to run? And how would you approach it with now a Democrat majority district?
I'll tell you, if I were Ed Rath, I'm going to go back to that 23rd congressional district. If I were Ed Rath, Ed Rath is a reasonable Republican conservative. You know, I'd look at that district. You know, again, Ed Rath is another one who'd have to move 20 miles, like Rob Orr, to be in a district to oppose somebody who had to move 250 miles. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, but a lot of it comes down to the resources that you have available. You know, the financial resources. You know, it's a difficult thing. I don't know. You know, Ed, there's other elected positions available. I'm the supervisor in the town of Amherst. I'm not real familiar with you know, the
Brian Copa?
Yeah, with the what's going on politically in Erie County. But I think didn't the supervisor have a pretty tight race the last time?
He did against someone who wasn't living in Amherst.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I didn't know that. You know, I mean, Ed Rath is Mr. Amherst. You know,
right.
I mean, you know, maybe Ed would be interested in a town supervisor. I don't know. I haven't spoken to Ed Rath in months, so I really don't know.
And you look at the different districts, right?
No, he has a great mother, though. I'll tell you that.
You look at the different districts and the ones that are leaning, you know, that are more conservative and the ones that are more liberal. But you take Amherst, for example. Now, when I was younger in Amherst, back in middle school, high school, Amherst was always perceived to me as a more conservative suburb.
Oh, it was a bastion of the Republican Party. Amherst and the town of Tonawanda were the bastion of the Republican Party. The town of Tonawanda under Carl Calabrese was the Republican example in the state of New York. Now both of them, I think just about every elected official, with maybe like the highway superintendent or something, is a Democrat.
And do you see that getting any different, or is that going to continue to sway more and more Democrat in these suburbs that, again, used to be leaning right, now leaning more and more left?
Well, it's up to the Republican Party, I think. Both statewide and locally, they have to do more outreach. I mean, right now in New York, there's 4 million more Democrats. That's my good friend Lee Zeldin, who, you know, I'm going to vote for, and I like him a lot. I served with him in the state Senate. But, you know, in 1994, when George Pataki won for governor, I think there were about 1 million more Democrats in New York State than there were Republicans, and George Pataki was successful against Mario Cuomo. You know, today there are almost 4 million more Democrats than there are Republicans in New York State. It's got a tough road to climb. And you can bet that COVID is going to go right up till Election Day, and the governor and the legislature and the Senate and the Assembly are going to say, "Oh, we have to send absentee ballots to everybody, you know, to prevent people from you know becoming victims of the pandemic and everything." When you send absentee ballots to everybody, you know, you have 4 million more Democrats than you do Republicans. It clearly favors the Democrats. I mean, two years ago in the state Senate elections, which I watched very closely, you know, on election night, I mean, it looked as if the Republicans were going to at least keep two seats that were very competitive and pick up another two seats. I mean, they were, and, you know, that all evaporated when they started counting the absentee ballots.
Do you think, you know, we see over the last 2 years, and you've mentioned it, you know, going to Florida, going to other states, we've seen this exodus of New York, mostly Republicans leaving the state of New York. I talk to people regularly during the week who say, "Yeah, Joe, we're packing up, we're moving somewhere else." That to me seems like it's just going to continue to hurt the local Republican Party, and there's really less and less room for them to make any gains.
There's no question about it. The Democrats are using in their legal challenge. And by the way, let me just give a tip of hand here to the Republicans. They hired the right attorney to argue their case in court, George Winner from the Southern Tier. George is a smart guy. He's a good lawyer. He knows election law inside and out. He'll do a good job for the Republicans. The problem is that courts tend not to want to get involved in drawing up legislative district lines. They stay away from that. But the point I was going to make was that, you know, with 4 million more Democrats, you know, Mike Gianaris, the person who actually drew these lines, said, you know, look at with the population changes in New York, you had a decreasing population in upstate New York and an increasing population in New York City. So therefore, you know, that's the justification for taking two seats, one from Western New York, one from the Albany area, and putting them one in Queens and one in Brooklyn. That's his justification. That's going to be their justification to the court.
I don't know. This is just me. I like New York City. I like visiting New York City. I can't believe that more people are moving into New York City while other people are leaving the rest of the state.
Well, it just, you know, I think you have a lot of immigration, be it legal or illegal, immigrants coming in, you know, and everybody looks to New York as the beacon to go to. I mean, in New York, they're allowing illegal immigrants to vote. I mean, I'm sure the social services plan is better than, you know, wherever they left.
And that's the question I want to get into before we're done here. But I want to look at Lee Zeldin in that race, because, as you said, it's going to be a steep hill to climb. How do you, knowing that you have to get some Democrats to vote for you, right, or some non-affiliated voters to vote for you, how do you, as a Republican currently serving in Congress, appeal to enough voters to maybe at least make it a close election in November?
Well, conventional wisdom, I'm not necessarily telling you I agree with this, but conventional wisdom would tell you that you had to move more to the center away from the right. I think it's going to be maybe a little difficult for Lee to do that, because he certainly has a record. That's what George Pataki did in 1994. I mean, George Pataki was a fairly conservative assembly person and then a state senator, and he changed his views on a lot of things and became more centric, and was able to beat Mario Cuomo. Now, a lot of that was, I think, negative about Mario Cuomo too. He had been in office for three terms. You know, any chief executive, mayor, county executive, governor, you know, that's in office for multiple terms, you know, you get people mad at you, you know. And I think that played well for George Pataki. You know, Lee's got a situation where you've got, you know, again, 4 million more Democrats. You know, Lee has staked out a pretty, you know, right-wing position on policy issues. And he's got an opponent, Kathy Hochul, who, you know, is, you know, a nice person. Kathy is a very nice person. You know, she kind of, you know, gets along very well with the legislature, as her predecessor, Andrew Cuomo, did not. You know, Democrats across the state like her. They're going to help her a lot. You know, whereas with Cuomo, they were doing it more, I think, out of a sense of obligation to the party than they were to the person. I think with Kathy Hochul, they're going to do it out of a sense of obligation to the person. And, you know, she's going to be a formidable opponent. And also, Kathy, you remember when she was a congressperson in a very conservative district, she was...
After Chris Lee. After Chris Lee, she did the special election.
She was, pro-NRA, she was conservative, moderate, whatever. And, you know, now she tends to be very progressive. You know, she's going where the left of the Democratic Party is going.
Do you think, you look at COVID, we've brought up COVID, and, you know, there are people, you look at Bill Maher, right, who's a pretty liberal guy, who was talking about how, you know, he's over the COVID restrictions, it's time to get back to normal. And this is a guy that, you know, is pretty much on the side of the left. Do you think that's going to cost people like Kathy Hochul at election time? Are there going to be Democrats that, yeah, they might agree, but they don't want to live under the threat of any more restrictions after this election?
I think it certainly will. I think it definitely, people are getting fed up with it. I think particularly, I mean, you saw it in the Virginia governor's race, you know, where I think particularly parents of school children, I mean, enough is enough. I mean, you know, a three-year-old, I take my grandson to pre-K every other day. And, you know, I mean, the kids are all there. They're all in, you know, wrapped up in face masks and all that stuff, you know. I mean, these are 3-4-year-old kids, you know. And they don't, I don't know, it just seems ridiculous to me. But,
yeah,
you know, those are the rules.
And I think that's another thing that Lee Zeldin's going to have to face with – Kathy Hochul, like I said, I think she's going to have some people cautious because of the COVID, but she can also run on, I've only been here since August.
That's true, too.
Right?
Yeah.
That's probably going to help her as well.
Yeah.
Like, hey, remember the guy before? I've only been here since August. I could only do so much.
Well, I'm sure that's going to be a part of her campaign.
Yeah. Are you surprised that Kathy Hochul's opponents, you know, Letitia James, backed out as quickly as she did?
I was, to be honest with you. I was. You know, attorney generals, you look at Elliot Spitzer, Andrew Cuomo, attorney generals were governors in waiting, you know, and I was very surprised that she backed out when she did. But she just didn't catch steam. And you know, again, you have to give Kathy Hochul credit. I mean, she went out very, you know, from day one, she went out to placate that left wing of the Democratic Party. I mean, you had Democratic Assemblymen from New York City, people that I know, Peter Abate, came out and endorsed Kathy Hochul. I was surprised. The mayor of Yonkers, Mike Spano, came out and endorsed Kathy Hochul. It just all, you know, the chips fell. I couldn't believe it. I'm still surprised by it, to be honest with you.
You look at, you mentioned in New York City now, where in the local elections, undocumented immigrants, as some people want to say, or illegal immigrants, can now vote in the local elections. Do you see that as anything that could happen on a state level?
You know, with super majorities in both the Assembly and the Senate, I can see that happening on a state level. Now, that is going to be, you know, a court challenge that maybe even could even go to the Supreme Court of the United States. But I could see, definitely could see some Democrats in the Assembly trying to get that through. And actually some Democrats in the Senate, too. You know, I mean, it's gone so far to the left.
Do we have any conservative Democrats left that you would think
none
would go against their party on something like that?
Zero. None. None that I know of, anyway. I mean, not on a national level or on a state level. I mean, it's a much different Democratic Party today.
Looking at, again, going back to Kathy Hochul being the governor, being from Buffalo, what do you think these Bills stadium negotiations are going like at the state level?
You know, I think that they're obviously they're very secretive. I think that they're probably going well because Kathy Hochul, I think one plus is, you know, being from Buffalo, she knows the importance of getting together a deal. Now, you know, again, you're not going to get any Democrats that are going to come out there and say, you know, no taxpayer funding for a sports stadium. But, you know, I think, you know, may not even get any Republicans to say it. But, you know, I think that's a very viable issue for somebody running for office. But whether the taxpayer should or should not, you know, support, financially support, to a great extent, by the way, over $1 billion of taxpayer money for a stadium. I mean, that is unheard of.
You know, as a huge baseball fan and a diehard Mets fan, I know what the state put towards Citi Field. Mm-hmm. At the same time, they were putting comparable money toward Yankee Stadium in the same year. Looking at that, and again, I realize that's downstate. Being that the Bills are the only NFL team this state benefits off, $27 million a year, this state benefits off, do you think that argument will help in the state Senate?
Oh, no
will
question
help in these negotiations?
Help. No question it'll help. And again, you know, with Kathy Hochul being from Buffalo, knowing, you know, the importance of having the presence of the National Football League here in Buffalo, you know, I think, Joe, I wouldn't be surprised if the deal's already been done.
Okay.
You know, they're just waiting for the right time to make the announcement. You know, maybe the right time was after the new districts were formed. You know, maybe the right time is, you know, after the budget is passed. You know, there'll be a right time. To me, again, I have no inside information whatsoever. To me, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if the deal isn't already done.
Now, looking at, again, this goes through in Albany, people who aren't familiar with the area, do you think you're going to have some people backing off in these negotiations saying, wait a minute, the stadium's going to stay in a suburb? Shouldn't this be in the city? Shouldn't this be downtown? Do you think that's been brought up at all? Or do you think Kathy Hochul is 100% honest when she says, if the Bills want Orchard Park, the Bills get Orchard Park?
No, I don't think the majority leader in the New York State Senate or the Speaker of the New York State Assembly, they really don't care where the stadium is located, you know,
right,
whether downtown or not. You know, they're going to take the cue from their local representatives, you know, Assemblywoman People Stokes, Tim Kennedy is probably the mover and shaker here on the Senate side. You know, so they're going to take their cues from them. But I really don't think I think the governor, Kathy Hochul, is going to be making a call mostly on this, on the stadium issues. You know, she's certainly going to take Mark Cars into her confidence. I'm guessing at all this, but I'm sure that's the way it's going to work.
We had Assemblywoman Crystal People Stokes on the show 2 weeks ago, and
excellent person, very good person.
She was in town with the governor and with our next guest, Congressman Higgins, mm-hmm. About the 33, the project at the 33, mm-hmm. and in closing that to bring neighborhoods back together. Mm-hmm. I was just wondering if you had a thought on that. I know this is something that's been talked about for decades. Now it's, you know, it seems like the plans are drawn up. The state's involved on this. Your thoughts, and do you think we're going to actually see this in motion?
I can tell you one thing. It's almost one of those things. I'll believe it when I see it. But if they're telling you now it's going to cost, and these are hypothetical figures.
Right.
If they're telling you it's going to be $200 million, I guarantee you it's going to be $500 million every day of the week.
So it's something that it's going to be more expensive than the price tag.
It's going to be a lot more expensive. It almost reminds me of these arguments we used to have at budget time in the state Senate about the subway system in New York City. You know, about there was always building a new Second Avenue subway or a new, you know, some new subway line or repairing it or something. And one old timer got up one time and said, I tell you this much, if they tell you it's going to cost $100 million, when this project's done, it's going to be $500 million every day of the week. You know, it just reminds me of that type of project.
Yeah, I mean, like I said,
and I don't know how it brings the community together by covering it. I don't understand it.
That's another thing, and that was my question. I mean, there's bridges there, you know. I mean, there's bridges almost at every street.
Yes.
I don't know covering the again. This is coming from people in the neighborhood. This is coming from people in that area. Yeah. This is something they say will help. Hey, I have no reason not to believe them. I know New York State government And I've heard of a lot of things. When I was in high school, we were supposed to have a subway being built down Niagara Falls Boulevard.
Right.
I am 12 years removed from college and still don't see that subway.
Exactly. Look, this may be a little bit too simplistic, but when I go down to 33, I look around, I think to myself, you know, if they would just clean it up, you know, clean it up a little bit. You know, I mean, there's debris all over the place. I mean, you know, clean it up.
It'll be interesting. It's something that will obviously...
I don't understand how covering it brings a community together. I don't...
Yeah, and I was going to ask you, you know, because the next project, something that our next guest has brought up repeatedly, is the Skyway coming down and the removal of the 198. These are as someone who used to live in the South Towns, I understand the necessity of the Skyway, but that's just me.
Yeah, I don't know. I drove to Buffalo just a couple of weeks ago, took my grandson, who's only 4 years old, over the Skyway just for the experience of going over the Skyway.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it was like an amusement ride. Now, don't tell Higgins I said that, because he wants to tear it down.
Right.
But he's probably listening, or is Chuck Eaton listening?
So, George, and last question, we talked about the state's congressional districts, we talked about the state Senate districts. Looking nationally at Joe Biden, right, 2 years in, midterm elections, do you think on a national landscape, Republicans get both houses in November?
No question about it. I think that they're poised in other states. And look, in New York, they're going to pick up probably an additional 3-4 seats, whatever. But in other states, Texas, Florida, they're definitely going to pick up at least 2-3. So they'll make up for it. But I think in some of the swing districts, you know, where the Democrats just barely won, you know, in 2020, I there's no question the House and the Senate both, you know, unless, let me give you one caveat on the Senate side, okay? Unless in the Senate, the Republicans get in a circular firing squad, you know, and you know, do each other in. That could happen in Pennsylvania, it could happen.
And the last thing, because we talked a lot about Congress, and I look out in Wyoming, where Liz Cheney is running, and the party just censured Liz Cheney, and you see a lot of people like Mitt Romney coming out against that, kind of speaking out against the party. Will stuff like this affect them in November, party-wide, and do you think Liz Cheney gets reelected?
I do think she's going to get reelected. People in Wyoming are pretty independent, I think, you know, and I think there's all this national, you know, pointing the finger at Liz Cheney. I think she's going to get reelected. I'm sorry, what was your other question? Is it going to affect the party nationally?
Know, seeing, you know, Mitt Romney go after his party, Liz Cheney go after the party, other Republicans in Congress.
I think that's helpful, actually. I think, you know, having a little bit of discourse, is a positive thing. I don't see it harming the party. What I see harming is when you have, you know, primaries that clearly, like the Pennsylvania U.S. Senate race, they're clearly going to, you know, where the Democrats are unified, you know, Chuck Schumer is just, you know, the other one is Georgia. You know, that's the other one I was trying to think of, Georgia, you know, with Herschel Walker running, that could be, you know, and you've got the overlay of the gubernatorial race there, you know, where you've got Brian Kemp and I think it's David Perdue running against each other. That could have, you know, blow over into the U.S. Senate race. And, you know, the Republicans could be blowing themselves up in Georgia. Georgia, Pennsylvania, I don't see how, if they don't take those two states, how they control the U.S. Senate. The House is a much different story. I think they're definitely going to do it. I just don't see how it can happen. Nancy Pelosi is such a divisive figure. You know, and that'll play in a lot of these swing districts that the Democrats won 2 years ago. And the Republicans in a lot of states have done a great job at recruiting very good candidates. So,
George, lots to keep an eye on. We'll definitely be back here. The closer we get to the midterm elections, get you back in here to talk more about midterm elections
anytime
on a national page. Former State Senator George Maziarz was our guest the last hour. If you missed any of that, you can find it on the Odyssey app and at WBEN.com. Coming up next, Congressman Brian Higgins here on Hardline.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.